That's great.
This is the dredging seminar, and our first speaker is going to be Mike Walsh from the Army Corps of Engineers. He's a project manager based in Concord, Mass.
Good afternoon to everyone. Again, my name is Mike Walsh, I'm a project manager with the Corps of Engineers. And the office that I work in is the navigation, O&M navigation. But the mission that the Corps of Engineers has relative to navigation is to provide safe, reliable, and efficient navigation channels, harbors, and waterways for the movement of commerce, national security, and recreation. And that's the mission that's given to the Corps of Engineers by Congress. FNPs, or Federal Navigation Projects, are projects that are specifically authorized by Congress. So, obviously, there are many, many, many harbors and channels across the country, but there are specific projects, that are authorized by Congress. What Congress did at some point is establish that there was a federal interest in that particular harbor. Once they authorize the project, it's authorized for construction and almost always authorized for continued maintenance of that project. Once a project is authorized, then there are two pieces to the puzzle in the federal arena. One is authority, authorization, the other piece is funding. So once we have authority, Congress gives the funding for construction, and then we need to seek funding every time we want to do a maintenance. Okay, the general rules for federal navigation projects are they need to be open to all on equal terms. Kind of makes sense, right? It needs to be fair. People in Ohio need to have the same open access to a harbor that federal dollars are being used to maintain as the local folks have access to. There can be no encroachments on the harbor, so we need to make sure that people's piers and wharves and whatnot are not encroaching on the project, the channels. We also are required to jump back and call it the federal standard. The Corps needs to, when we maintain a project, we need to adhere to the federal standard, which is the least cost environmentally acceptable alternative. What that means is when we look for alternatives as to how to dredge a harbor or a channel and what to do with that material, we look at all the acceptable alternatives, environmentally acceptable. We take those, we put those on the table, and we take the least cost of the acceptable alternatives. We do not look for the most desirable environmental alternative, just the least cost of acceptable. Maintenance is 100% federally funded on FNPs. However, disposal may be cost share. I forget what year it was, what word it was, the Corps, Congress decided that if there's an additional cost of disposal, then that needs to be cost shared with a local sponsor. Disposal. Everything revolves around the characteristics of the dredge sediments when it comes to dredging. So the first thing we need to do is to characterize the material, grain size. Then we get into chemistry. If there's chemistry to the sediments, then we have to look at, is it contaminated? What are the risks with that material? And that dictates then where or how we will dispose of the material. We always try to look for beneficial use, if we can, of dredge material. For instance, an easy one would be sand. We dredge clean sand. It's good to put it on the beach if you can. Material type then, and the disposal location, it dictates the dredge type that we would use, and I'll get into that a little bit further. And obviously disposal location, dredge type, and any kind of environmental restrictions, that's what drives our cost and our timeline to be able to make the project happen. I just figured I'd point out there are three EPA designated disposal sites off the coast of Maine. We have the Cape Arundel, Portland disposal site, and then the Rockland disposal site. Much of the dredging that we do in New England ends up being by mechanical dredging. Just for those who don't know, it's pretty straightforward. Usually it's a crane mounted, barge mounted crane with a clamshell bucket that then excavates the material, puts it into a scow, it's kind of like a original dump truck, and then that scow will be towed off to the disposal site. You can also use a hydraulic excavator if it's not too deep. It's just a picture of a pretty good sized clamshell bucket there. Another piece of dredging equipment would be a hydraulic dredge. That there is the what we call the business end of the hydraulic dredge. It's got that auger with the teeth on it. The auger basically breaks up the sediment so that it can flow into the pipe and the pumps are coming on. Usually these dredges, they can be 12-inch to 36-inch pipe diameter. That's a picture in Scarborough, actually. You can see the dredge in the background of the two spuds, spud piles. Yeah. Picture of the pipeline along the beach. You can see a little bit in the distance beyond the sand piles. That's the discharge. So as the discharge comes out, it's probably 10% sand, 90% water. And then very quickly, the sand settles out. And the water just flows back. We would not use a dredge like this for silt or any fine grain material. It's just, it doesn't settle out soon enough, and you just mix the water on turbid. Another picture, that's the Scarborough as well. And then finally, another type of dredge would be a hopper dredge. It's kind of a combination between the two. This is actually a picture of a government dredge, the Currituck. And It's a lot like a vacuum cleaner here. Two drag arms, looks like almost like a vacuum cleaner head that drag across the bottom. The suction sucks up the sand, and diffuser pipes put that sand and water into the hopper, which is in the center of the ship. The sand settles out, and the water overflows the gunnels. We would only use this type of a dredge again for a sand or coarser grain material. We wouldn't use it for a silt or clay. Here's a picture of the Currituck underway. Just a good idea of how close a dredge like the Currituck can actually come to shore. And also it can dispose very close to the shore also. We have some projects where the Currituck actually noses in and then splits open and disposes of the material in the right. It's not on the beach, but it's about as close as it can get. And that's just a graphic of a split hull, which is what the Currituck is and many hopper dredges are. That's how they dispose of the material. Okay, steps to a dredging project. Briefly, notification when local harbor master or others tell us that there's a shoaling problem in a channel. The Corps will go out, we'll conduct a survey to verify the shoaling. We also do an identification of the need. We want to make sure that the current usage of the harbor meets or shows that there is a need to maintain that channel or harbor. Next step would be to develop a sampling analysis plan. We have with EPA in the state. We then do our sampling and testing. We identify a project plan then based on, again, the characteristics of the sediment. And finally, the culmination of that whole first part of the process is a suitability determination, which basically says that the material is suitable to be disposed of in a certain way. And then it's spelled out in the suitability determination. At that point, we would public notice the project, what our intentions are. The purpose of a public notice, I think a lot of folks miss the intent of this. A public notice is, for number one, to tell us what the Corps is intending to do, a proposed project, and then solicit comments from the public. We understand that the federal government doesn't know everything, right? So we rely on other people to tell us, hey, there's some concerns out there, we want to make sure you address environmentally. And that's the purpose of the public notice. We're soliciting comments. Then we would develop a draft environmental assessment. We coordinate with state and federal resource agencies, which helps us to finalize our environmental assessment. It also spells out any kind of environmental time of year restrictions we may have or other things that we need to do to minimize impacts to the environment for our proposed dredging project. We then finalize the environmental assessment. And it can be a long way trying to get funding to do the dredging project. Once we receive funding, everything else flows fairly quickly. Development of plant specifications, we solicit bids. Corps generally doesn't do dredging ourselves, with the exception of a few pieces of equipment that the Corps has, like the car tuck. We undertake construction. We do that usually during an allowable dredge window, which we've established in the EA with our coordination. Conduct a post-dredge survey just to prove that, you know, show that we achieved what we wanted to. And then it is maintenance, all the shows back in, and we'll be back again sometime and do it again. Typical timeline and cost. Notification survey, 6 months to a year to go through that process. Sampling and testing can take a fair bit longer, and it can be quite expensive depending on the types of tests we're required to do. Finalize our EA and our coordination. That can take 6 months to a year. Actually, a little bit longer than that, but I think that's average. Funding can take a long time. It all depends on the budget cycle. Whether if it's a small project, it might not hit the radar screen, and it can be hard to get funding. Larger projects tend to get funding more easily. Plans and specs, that goes pretty quickly. Bid process, 6 months again, and then construction depends on how big the project is. Finally, just if anyone's taking notes, public notices. If anyone wants to receive notification of our public notices, this is where our public notices are on our webpage, but also we have an email notification system. So when a navigation public notice is being issued, we send an email to everyone on our list. And it's just an email that says, hey, if you're interested, take a look. If anyone here would like to be on that list, please, actually Jay, here, he has a sign up sheet. And you can sign up to receive just public notices for Maine or for all New England states if you like that. And finally, the Corps webpage, the New England District webpage is there. And I have an email address, which is a generic email address for my section, the O&M navigation section. That's it. I do.
Yes.
Time for questions.
Yeah. You can just ask.
Good. I should be loud enough.
Just yell.
Yeah. Never has been a problem before.
Okay.
You mentioned that the federal standard is the least cost cost federal alternative. And in the situation with Sears Fork, have you all looked at the Dawson alternative, which is a maintenance dredge with deepening the dock 45 feet as opposed to the improvement deck dredge?
I'm going to have to disappoint you on that because Sears Fork is not my project, although it is being handled in my office. I believe the project manager is Jack Corralius, but I truly know nothing about Sears Fork.
Okay.
I know it's in Maine, but that's about it. Sorry.
Just to handle a public comment, we respond to the comments to the commenter, and will you post the public comments?
Good question. We're not required by NEPA to respond to if it's just a comment unless it requires a public hearing, and then we would go through that process. It's pretty rare that it requires a hearing because, again, we're soliciting information. So your comment is, you know, if you had a comment and said, your proposal is to do this, and I'm very concerned about this resource associated with your project, I would respond to you and say, thank you for your comment. We will address it in the environmental assessment. And then we will go about addressing it in the environmental assessment. So the documentation of addressing that is in the environmental assessment. So I...
But you do not publish the comments.
No. Any other questions?
Why not?
That's a good question. I think maybe it's not a requirement. It's probably not a great answer, but is it?
Is there going to be any discussion about the Sears Port project today in this seminar?
No. Okay. Not from my perspective, because I honestly don't know anything about it. Okay, yes. That's that.
How am I going to do this right, Mike? I'm going to use a slide from your presentation.
Sure.
The steps to a dredging project. I think your number 10 would be where you would be applying for a state water quality permit. Yeah. So we're trying to sort of set this up so people understand the process of how these dredge projects are initiated, and then permits are solicited, comments are solicited, because there's a lot of different agencies involved in these projects eventually coming to, you know, actually a vote in the water on removing sediment. So the Mike's presentation just sort of set up the federal process, and they see it through to the end, but in the middle there are a few different phases where the Department of Environmental Protection weighs in, and they actually issue a permit to the Army Corps to allow them to do the work in state waters. And then the department at that point is also asked to give input on impacts to marine resources and the habitat. So just so people sort of understand how these are interrelating, this step 10 is done by the Department of Environmental Protection here in Maine, and we have John Cullen here, who's an environmental specialist, to present for DEP.
Before I start, a couple disclaimers. I'm not Jim Meyer. Jim is a supervisor in the office I work in. The other disclaimer is there's one particular large dredge project that may or may not come in. And like Mark, I know nothing about the channel dredge, the Sears Port dredge. So. But today, I'd like to talk about the process.